Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
We're so glad to be with you once again, and we have a good program today. We're going to be talking about the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation today, and Martin Luther and his position on the Word of God, the Bible. And we believe that God has preserved his words in the authorized King James Bible, which has come down to us from the apostles and translated into English in 1611. But first of all, we have this report from our scientist in residence, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, thank you, Bruce. I guess being scientist in residence, I can reside in some scientific thought here today. But we'll look at something here in just a minute. But I do want to mention again that if people want to, they can go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And there you can find out more about Bruce Musselman. You can read his pamphlet that he wrote many years ago on the King James Version of the Bible that kind of got him started on this. And also you can see him, some things of him there teaching as and preaching as well as singing. And there's also a section where you can download past programs and you can listen to them as well. And you can find all that at whereisgodsword.com.
Hey, yes. Brother Davis, you have a program of your own. Why don't you tell them about that?
Well, it's actually, I think you can find it from whereisgodsword.com too.
Okay. So,
but we do a program live with Pastor Al on this station, AM 1220, every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and then every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight. And so you can find all that links to there and everything at whereisgodsword.com. So I try to get people pointed there. Well, I was going to look at something today. It's something I was been reading about and thinking about here, and I thought, why not try this? This is something I don't think we've talked about before. And this is at the risk of delving a little bit into philosophy here, but when God created man, the Bible says that he created man in his image. And in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And when I look at that, I look at the physical form of man that's made from the dust of the ground, and then the spirit of man that comes from God when God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and then that leaves the soul, which is your mind and your personality. And this goes back to an interesting thing that I've read about in the past, where there are those who are completely material, and they believe that there's nothing other than the matter and energy that makes up this universe. And atheists tend to be in this category. They believe that when you die, you die, and your matter and your energy just gets rearranged into other forms. And some religious people who believe in reincarnation have a similar thought. They believe the matter and the energy that make you up gets recycled into something else, or perhaps comes back in reincarnation or something like that. But a lot of people who hold to this material view believe that that there's really no free will. Everything you do, everything you think, even the things that I'm saying right now, is merely the natural physical reaction to the interaction of matter and energy, governed by the laws of nature. And then, and so there's no such thing as free thought. It's all an illusion. And incidentally, the very concept of that you can't know anything because it's all an illusion, you know, how do you know that's true? If that's true, then it's an illusion, which means it's a contradictory statement. It's like saying, I am lying to you, which if I'm lying means I'm telling the truth and I can't be lying. So if I'm telling the truth saying I'm lying to you, then I'm actually lying, so I can't be telling. See, it's nonsense. But getting back to our idea here, God, I believe, created us with the ability to freely choose. And he gave Adam and Eve that opportunity by placing in the Garden of Eden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, listen, you can eat from any tree in the garden. You all this wonderful thing that I created for you. He said, I just ask one thing, that you don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can see that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 and through 17 there. And we know the story, of course. Eve ate the forbidden fruit. The devil tempted her in the guise of the serpent to eat the forbidden fruit. She chose to eat the forbidden fruit. Or actually, the Bible says she was deceived. Adam chose, though. Adam saw that Eve had disobeyed God, ate the forbidden fruit, and he chose to follow Eve and eat the forbidden fruit. And as a result, the curse was placed upon humanity, and we are now living out the consequences of Adam's choice. By one man, the Bible says, sin entered the world and death by sin, and that's because of what Adam did. So we're living out the consequences of Adam's choice. To have free will, God also had to allow us to make the choice and have those consequences. But there are those who are materialists and say, well, and some Christians even say there's no such thing as free will. God created Adam with the intention of Adam disobeying him, and it was God's plan all along. Nobody has a free thought. Nobody has a free choice. We call them Calvinists, but that's something we won't get into right now. But here's the thing. In studying the mind, there's a fascinating new area of study right now where they have shown that the body has a brain. That's an organ. It's the most complex organ that's in your body, and it resides between your ears, behind the eyeballs, and in the confines of your skull, and it uses more oxygen than any other organ in the body, and it has the greatest blood flow of any organ in the body, and it's a fascinating organ, but it's a physical organ. And I believe God created that when he formed Adam from the dust of the ground, formed Adam's body. But when Adam became a living soul, that's where the mind comes in. The mind is kind of like if you have a computer, that would be the brain, the physical object. The mind would be the person that operates the computer. And a lot of research now lately is showing that you do have this soul, this mind, that actually utilizes the brain as a tool to be able to interact with the world around us. And that's just fascinating to me. They are believing that the mind actually operates the brain as a quantum computer. Now, those who know about computers have an understanding that a quantum computer would be incredibly complex and able to do incredible things that the fastest supercomputers today cannot do. And they believe in this research, there's evidence that they're finding in particular things like tryptophan and other chemicals in the brain, in the microtubules, in the neurons, which are the cells, the nerve cells that make up your brain, actually function as as quantum computers. They're doing quantum computing at the request of what your mind chooses to think about. And so to think about it, it's fascinating, isn't it? The idea that God gave you a soul which can use the brain just like you use a computer. You know, we use it to think, to remember, to store information, and to retrieve information. And all of this is relatively recent discoveries show that there is something separate from the brain, the physical organ, and they call it the mind. Non-physical. It's not composed of matter and energy. In a sense, you could use the term metaphysical, but it operates upon the brain, utilizing the brain, and allows us to make free choices. In fact, all the research into quantum mechanics suggests that we do have free will, and just like God created us so that we can choose to love God and obey him, or we can choose not to love God and disobey him, just like Adam did. And God will allow us the consequences of our choice. If we can use that fabulous quantum computer that God created and put within our head called the brain to make the right choice, to believe in that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who willingly went to the cross and died and shed his blood to pay for our sins. We believe that he did that. He was buried and rose again the third day, victorious over sin and death, as the Bible said. With our mind, we can compute all that out in the quantum computer of our brain and get understanding as the Holy Spirit gives us understanding. And then we can make that choice to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. And when we do that, God gives us the consequences of that, doesn't he? He forgives us of our sin, and he gives us the promise of eternal life with him. And that's a free choice. And science right now, cutting-edge science, is indicating we do indeed have free choice with the mind acting upon that fantastic quantum computer of our brain.
Well, as usual, that's an excellent report. I always enjoy those so much. And today I want to read from the words of Jesus connected with his statement. Jesus said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And he's saying there that it would be easier, the heavens and the earth, one day they'll disintegrate and go, but his words will remain forever. And we have the word of God today. We have the words of God today, and that's important. And with other, Jesus, the Bible says, with men of other tongues will I speak unto this people. And in the New Testament time, the whole world heard the word of God. And so it's mentioned a number of times in the New Testament, so it had to be translated. And it was translated, for instance, on the day of Pentecost. It says, every man heard them in his own language in which he was born. They simply began to preach the word of God, and there was a miracle of healing. Hearing took place, and then it mentions 13 different languages that they heard the word of God. So the word of God was translated very early, and the world heard it. And it's come down to us from many early translations of the Bible, and we have mentioned these translations that have come down to us, and the King James translators based on these early translations. But of course, the modern ones were based on the corrupt Egyptian revision of the Bible, starting with Origen. Origen changed it, and we read where he changed the words and why he changed the words. I mean, in his writings, so we know that he did it. And then his follower, Eusebius of Caesarea, became a friend of Constantine. And Constantine then put out 50 Bibles. And these Bibles were based and put out with the help of Eusebius of Caesarea. However, these Bibles do not agree with each other either, you know, because they had different ones. And in that line, what is called the Alexandrian line, today they call it the eclectic text because these ancient Bibles from Alexandria disagree with each other. Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, which they call the oldest and best, and that's according to the devil would agree with that, disagreed with each other in the Gospels, 3,000 words. And so these modern perversions of the scripture are based on that. And when Jerome put out his translation, he based it on Origen's corrupt revision of the scriptures. He was a follower of Origen, but then later on, his interest in Origen cooled, and later on, there were councils that came out against Origen. Now, Origen clearly in his own writing said that he believed that you were saved through salvation by works, said by good works you grab hold of eternal life. That's practically a direct quote of Origen. Not only that, he denied the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's not only saying that he rose spiritually, or the disciples' faith that he arose, Jesus arose bodily. The Bible makes a great point of that. Jesus says, touch me and handle me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. So Origen denied that. And that's where you're getting your modern versions from. And I hear preachers come out and they're like proudly say, I'm for the new ASV, which throws out the names of Jesus 100 places in the New Testament, or the NIV, non-inspired version, which is another corrupt one that is based on so-called eclectic texts. And they're constantly changing these. And in all of this, there's many unsaved people. They can be documented as Unitarians that deny that Jesus Christ is God. And they put out these translations. And, you know, Jesus makes this statement. He says here, Matthew 1, chapter, or Revelation, the last chapter, I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify unto these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. That is, God wants everyone to come be part of his great family because Jesus has died, paid for your sins on the cross, risen from the dead. You accept him as Lord. That means he's your creator. He's your boss. He has the right to tell you what to do and your savior. And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll no wise cast out. And it says, Jesus is saying the spirit and the bride say, come. Now, the spirit is the spirit of God. He's telling you to come in your heart. The bride is the church, and he's saying, come, the true church, to Jesus. Let him that heareth say, come. Let anybody say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. And then Jesus makes these words, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, even so come, Lord Jesus. Now listen here. I listened to the Moody station. Now, Mr. Moody set up in this flat, these Bible correctors started in his day, Westcott and Hort. They actually went to hear Moody, and they talked rather arrogantly about it. And anyway, they put out their theories and so on, and that's all it is theories. And so people started to correct the scripture in their day, and Mr. Moody talked against it, talked against Greek preachers. He said, I'd rather have one person can teach the English Bible well than many that can teach the Greek well, and he says there are many. And so he set up his institution on teaching the King James Bible only. And he was a King James man, as every man that God has used for the salvation of souls. You name Finney, you name Whitfield, you name Moody, all the way up to Chuck Smith and the hippie revival in California. Every last one of them that God has blessed and used for the saving of many souls that the Spirit of God, they used the true Word of God. The Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And that's the authorized King James Bible. And before that, the text, the received text. And so today, however, I listen to the Moody station and I talk about it because I'm not talking about their whole, I'm not talking about preachers in general or their whole Bible Institute, but I'm talking about what they're saying about the Bible. As I listen to it, I've read the New Testament many times. And I listen to these preachers coming on. They're all using a different translation of the Bible. And these translations don't agree. When you have read the New Testament, you see they're not words that are synonyms. A synonym is a word that means the same thing. These new translations are not words that are synonyms. They're words that are different words coming from a different text. There's many different Greek texts. For instance, Nestle's has, the latest I heard is about 27th edition. That is, they've gone through 27 changes in their text. Well, the Word of God does not change. And the received text has come down to us, and whatever slight changes there are, God said he's purified it 7 times, and we have it in the King James. And the reason that every translation comes out disappears when the advertising stops. And that has been 200 translations. They come and go because they're not the Word of God. They're man-made translations with errors in them. But the true Word of God liveth and abideth forever. The authorized King James Bible goes from generation to generation. And if one group of people attack it in their schools and so on, okay, whatever they attack it with, that disappears. But the King James, another group will come, and they will promote the King James Bible. God says, I have honored my word above all my name. And Jesus here says in this passage, he that heareth the words of the prophet, if any man shall add to these things, these versions are adding God shall enter into the place that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book, the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written. It's not the same. And brother, I'm not going to mention his name, but he's promoting the New King James. Now, it doesn't take out the names of Jesus 100 places, but there's basic changes that are made. Did you ever hear what is called collation? Collation is that you check the words of the different translations. If a new one comes out, you check all the words that are different, and you start with the King James comparing the words. And when you compare the words of the New King James, they're not the same. They do not mean the same. Oh, most of them are, yes, but on key words. You see, the Roman Church, they will not accept the old King James. They'll accept the new one. And there's reasons for it. I don't have the time to go into this. But God says that we're not to change God's word. And he warns us about changing the words of God. You know, there's more passages dealing with where the true word of God is than I think there's passages telling who Jesus is. You see, even most preachers will even admit there is the word of God incarnate, that is, word of God taken on flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the word of God, the living word of God, is the Bible. I hear some guys coming out of Bible school, they say, well, I don't worship the book. I worship the God of the book. You can't separate the two. They're one and the same. My words are the same as me. And you can't separate the words of Jesus. You see, the Laodicean church, why was Christ outside? Because they kicked his words out. That's why. Those words in that Bible. And he showed you where his words are. I give these verses. For instance, God says, I've honored my words above all word above all my name. What book has been honored more than any book that was ever written in the history of the world? It's the King James Bible. You know, and God tells us, he gives us a command that is just as important as any command he ever gave. God says through the Apostle Paul, he says, I beseech you by Jesus Christ that ye all speak the same thing. I listen on the radio. Everybody has a different Bible, and they don't agree. They don't agree with the King James. They don't agree with each other. Oh, they agree on the surface, but if you check the words, and I hear these words, and it just makes me cringe. I mean, I hear them on the Moody station. They say we stand for the Word of God, and you hear message after message. We have to have a standard. The Bible is true. It's the Word of God, but they're using different Bibles that disagree, and that's what this program is all about. God tells you where his word is. I've honored my word above all my name. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And a stranger will they not follow. Generation after generation comes, translation after translation comes. It comes and goes, and the true word of God goes on. 5 billion copies of the King James Bible are out there. And today, the majority of people on latest polls that read the Bible every day, I'm not talking about people just buy it, because they can say, well, they're buying this one translation or something. And there's many people, there's groups that are producing the King James Bible that aren't in these surveys. But people that read it every day, they're still reading the King James. The majority of them that read the Bible every day read the King James. Now, God says to every one of you preachers, he says, I beseech you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the name of Christ, that you all speak the same thing. I mean, you're using Bibles that disagree in hundreds of places. Why don't you collate it? You can get the New Age Bible versions and check the 2,500 scripture verses that are changed. Check them. And start checking these translations. And go back to the true word of God. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. This is the one that's come down from us, the apostles, been translated, and it's translated into many other languages. And where you're listening, all over the world, and God has put this program on worldwide to say what I'm saying today, it's in other languages. Make sure you get the right text. You want a Bible that says Jesus is the Son of God and not the son of Joseph in Luke 2:33. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.